Our Old Testament reading today is from Proverbs, the 9th chapter. Wisdom has built her house. She has hewn her 7 pillars. She has slaughtered her beast. She has mixed her wine. She has also set her table. She has sent out her young women to call from the highest places in the town. Whoever is simple, let him turn in here. To him who lacks sense, she says, come, eat of my bread, and drink of the wine I have mixed. Leave your simple ways and live, and walk in the way of insight. Whoever corrects a scoffer gets himself abuse, and he who reproves a wicked man incurs injury. Do not reprove a scoffer, or he will hate you. Reprove a wise man, and he will love you. Give instructions to a wise man, and he will be wiser. Teach a righteous man, and he will increase in learning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is insight. This is the word of the Lord. Our epistle today is from Ephesians chapter 5. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore do not associate with them, for at one time you were darkness, but now you are the light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true, and try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfaithful works of darkness, but instead expose them, for it is shameful even to speak of the things they do in secret. But when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible, for anything that becomes visible is light. Therefore it says, awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Look carefully, then, how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best of the use of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of God the Lord is, and do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with all your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 6th chapter. Jesus said, I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. The Jews then disputed among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? So Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so whoever feeds on me, he also will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven, not as the fathers ate and died. Whoever feeds on this bread will live forever. Jesus said these things in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. When many of his disciples heard it, they said, this is a hard saying. Who can listen to it? But Jesus, knowing in himself that his disciples were grumbling about this, said to them, do not take offense at this. Then what if you were to see the Son of Man ascending to where he was before? It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh is of no avail. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life, but there are some of you who do not believe. For Jesus knew from the beginning those who those were who did not believe, and who it was who would betray him. And he said, "This is why I told you that no one can come to me unless it is granted him by the Father." After this, many of his disciples turned back and no longer walked with him. So Jesus said to the 12, "Do you want to go away as well?" Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life, and we have believed and have come to know that you are the Holy One of God." This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In this text from John, we hear Jesus declare, "I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world." Hearing this, the Jews began to argue among themselves. They didn't understand what he was saying, didn't know it, and probably didn't want to. But Jesus says to them, "I tell you the truth, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is real food and my blood is real drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me and I in him. Just as the living Father sent me, I live because of the Father. So the one who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven. Your forefathers ate manna and died, but he who feeds on this bread will live forever." Those words of Jesus Christ, our Savior, from the Gospel of John, are vitally important to us as Christian people. In them, Jesus makes clear the most important principle of Christianity, and that is that in them, what Jesus says is that he is the bread of life that came down from heaven. He said our salvation is a gift of God. It is not something we can earn. And he, Jesus, is the only way to heaven. And that's not a very popular thing to be talking in these days. You tell people there's only one way to heaven, and that's through Jesus Christ. It's a true statement, but be careful, you may be stoned by saying it. He is the bread that came down from heaven. He declared it. "I am the bread of life." Some of his own people that were following him at this time did not believe it. And they said, "This is a hard teaching. Who can accept it?" Now, some believe that this is a reference to Holy Communion, but that is not specifically what Jesus is trying to tell them here. It is a reference to that, and we as Christians can take it that way. But the bread he's talking about here is the staff of life. It's often called that when you have bread, that it's the staff of life. You don't go into the bakery and say, "I don't want two loaves of the stack of life, staff of life." You go in and say, "I want two loaves of bread," but that it is both things. It is that physical thing which we call bread, but it's also Jesus Christ. And he's using it that way here. He's saying that he who supports real life and wants to enter life, life that goes on forever, when he says we will never be hungry or thirsty, doesn't mean it in a material sense. It's in a spiritual sense that he's talking here. What Jesus is telling us that we should not focus our lives on material things like real bread and water and all those other things that we have that seem to be important to us, but on the spiritual truths of God, our Savior. Jesus expresses this beautifully in Matthew 6, where he says, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasure upon earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there will be your heart also." Here we see the crux of the matter. Where is your heart? If our highest priorities are in life and material things, which they tend to be for most of us, that's where our heart will be also. I hate to say this, but I have seen pastors, this is a big secret, don't tell anybody, but not all pastors are saints. Some have some real difficulties, and we know that that's true. We're human beings, and we too are sinners, and some of them get pretty bad in that place, but I won't get into that. But Jesus is simply telling them and us, you guys are missing the whole point of what I was trying to say to you. Don't fret about bread and clothes and money and power and all that stuff. God will always supply what you need. He doesn't promise to always supply what you want, but he will always supply what you need. And the focus on spiritual things is the most important thing in our lives as Christians. But even some of his own didn't get it. But they said from this time, many of the disciples turned back and no longer followed him. It was just too hard to believe. The central point for all theology is simply this: how can we be saved? How can we leave this world with the sure and certain knowledge that we will be in heaven forever? Well, maybe it was good that these people grumbled, because it gave them the opportunity to tell them the truth. And he does, and he does it beautifully. He lets them know that in no certain uncertain terms, that our salvation is a gift of God. It is not something we can earn. Listen to what he says. "This is why I told you that no one can come to me unless the Father has enabled him." In last week's gospel, we read, "Stop grumbling among yourselves." Jesus answered, "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day." No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. We can't do it ourselves. It is God's work. Your salvation is not your work, it's God's work. And he is the one that draws us up to Jesus, and he is the one that provides our salvation, and God alone can do that. Nada, nil, zero, absolutely nothing. That describes what you and I can do to save ourselves. And this truth is stated as clear as anywhere in the Gospels in Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. That's not the reading today, but it's my favorite text. "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not as a result of works, that no one should boast." I don't know that there's any statement in all of Scripture that's any clearer than that is. If you are saved, it's because God did the work, and only he can do that. How could it get any clearer than that? How can anyone read these words and still think that they can do anything to be saved? And yet among Christians, the majority of Christians do not believe that simple statement written in Ephesians. Certainly not the Romans. They still have to work very hard to get into heaven, and it's a tough place to be. I was raised in the Roman Catholic Church, and I know how tough it can be, especially when you're a young person. There's just no way to express this any clearer. Your works are done because you are saved, not in order to be saved. There's a great difference in that. When they give the wrong answer, why, you can try this in your Christian friends. We used to have a policy, it's been 40 years ago, I think, called the Kennedy question. And this was a question you'd go and ask people, and it was about being saved, you know. What have you done to be saved, and so forth. And when they gave the wrong answer to that, if you're doing this Kennedy thing, then you read to them Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. And this is a great wide opening of their minds and their hearts when they see that, hey, that's true. I can't do anything to save myself. I have to rely on God. The Holy Spirit's the only one that could make me a holy person, and that's true. So in Ephesians 2:10, following those two verses, it says this: "For we are his workmanship, that is God's, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." Does God want his saved children to do good works? Of course he does, because it's the way we maintain our Christianity. If you don't do any good works, you just say, well, I'm saved, I can just sit back and relax the rest of my life. That's not going to do any good. God orders you to do good works, and he creates you a Christian in order that you can do that. But we don't do them in order to be saved. We do them because we are saved, not in order to be saved. The Jews once said to Jesus, "Our fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, as it is written, he gave them bread out of heaven to eat." Jesus therefore said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, it is not Moses who has given you the bread out of heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread out of heaven. For the bread of God is that which comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." And what is that bread? Come to the arrow I want to point. The bread is Jesus, who is the only way to heaven. He says, "I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever." During my tenure at Chico as a pastor and some other churches where I've served, I've been in some controversy over this very issue. What Christian do you know that doesn't know other people who are not Christian? Well, the answer is obviously none. All of us as Christians know other people who are not Christians. And nothing wrong with that, except I hope you're trying to get them to be interested in Christianity. But my response is this. My defense, if you want to call it that, is that this is the clear word of God. If there's a question, but I always say to people, well, let's look at God's book, the Bible. What does it say in the Bible? How are we saved? Is it clear in the Bible? John 14:6. Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one," get that, "no one comes to the Father but through me." 1 Timothy 2:5, "For his one God, there is one God, and one mediator also between God and men, the man Jesus Christ. He's our mediator between us and the Father. And in Acts 4, and there is no salvation in anyone else, for there is no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved. So Scripture is very clear. The only way to heaven is through Jesus Christ. And it's sad to think that the majority of people in the world who have ever lived or ever will live are not going to be in heaven. Because unless they believe in Jesus Christ as their Savior, they will not be in heaven. Much as you love them, much as you'd want them to be in heaven, I lost my brother last year, and as much as I loved him and wanted him to be in heaven, I'm not sure he is now, because his Christianity was very weak. And I still pray that there was some way God would show me that he has taken my brother Harvey to heaven, but he hasn't done so, and I just have to face the truth. I'm afraid he's not going to be there. Again, I ask you, as reasonable people, how clear can God make this subject? If you don't believe what the Bible says here, you have only two choices. If you're going to call yourself a Christian, you are saying either God is a liar or the Bible is not the true word of God. And I'm not willing to accept either one of those answers. I believe the Bible is the true word of God, and I hope all of you do too. And I pray that none of you are either so the world is going to call us names and we don't care, got that attitude. To my face and in print, I have been called a bigot, an intolerant ass, I kind of like that one, a narrow-minded Pharisee, or my all-time favorite, printed in a paper, a sanctimonious nincompoop. And I really wanted to put that on my gravestone. I think it'd be kind of fun. You say, here lies a sanctimonious nincompoop who believed what Jesus said. And I'm not going to really do that. I don't think my family would be very happy. If I get a chance to respond to this, my response is, it's not me that you're calling names. When you publish that, or you say it in person, or you tell your friends that I'm a sanctimonious nincompoop, then, you know, I didn't write it. It's in the Bible. I'm just telling you what God has said about this matter. It's God. He wrote the book. No matter what they say, the words of God stands. Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall not hunger, and he who believes in me will never thirst. Speaking spiritually, there is certainly a lot of meat in this text, and like me, I'm sure you'll get something new out of it every time you read it. But I hope you will remember at least these three things about our text today. He is the bread of life that came down from heaven. Our salvation is a gift of God. It's not something we can earn. And he, Jesus, is the only way to heaven. If you do, you'll have a firm grip on the essential truths of Christianity. May God grant you this wisdom. Amen.